longstanding petitions.
Mr. Chairman, can't even hear.
If we could have order in the committee, please. Mr. Ray.
On that last bill, pursuant to Committee Rule 5C, I reserve the right for all members to file supplemental, additional, minority views to be included in the report of the legislation just approved by the committee, and as unanimous consent, this reservation applied to all members reported by the committee today.
Without objection, so ordered. H.R. 512 is a bill to expedite decisions on certain longstanding petitions filed by Indian groups seeking federal recognition. Recognition establishes the formal existence of an Indian tribe under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Historically, most tribes have been recognized under treaties, statute, and executive order. By the 1970s, a number of unrecognized Indian groups began to petition the federal government for recognition. To deal with these, a formal rule was established in 1978 by the Bureau of Indian Affairs to provide an objective means of judging whether a group qualifies as a tribe based on seven mandatory criteria. When the procedures were implemented, it was expected that each petition would take about 2 years to resolve. In reality, the BIA process has been extremely slow. This may be understandable in light of the volume of petitions filed since 1978, but some of the delays are inexcusable and unjust. In several cases, petitioners filed between 23 and 35 years ago and then completed their documentation 3 to 10 years ago. Waiting on the sidelines, these petitioners could only stand by and watch as recent entries got to enter the field of play and receive their determinations. There are a few other areas of the executive branch in which action occurs as slowly as in the BIA recognition process. The crux of the problem is that no strict deadline exists for the Secretary to address these older cases in a timely fashion. Committee hearings yielded some generic reasons for delays on several hundred incomplete petitions, but no justification for why documented petitions finished up to 10 years ago remain unresolved. One of them, the Mashpee tribe, has finally secured a proposed finding, but only because it was forced to seek relief in federal court. H.R. 512 gives each eligible tribe the option to obtain a final determination on its petition for recognition within 1 year. An eligible tribe is one whose petition was filed before October 17, 1988, and ready for active consideration on July 1, 2004. The bill sets forth deadlines for the Secretary to meet in making a determination on an eligible tribe's petition. A judicial remedy is available to the tribe if the Secretary rejects the petition or fails to adhere to the Act's deadlines. Importantly, the bill makes no change to the criteria or the standard of proof a petitioner must meet to be recognized. It creates a deadline for action by the government and a judicial remedy for no action. This bill is identical to one reported by voice vote in the 108th Congress. However, following a hearing on February 10, 2005, it became evident that some amendments to H.R. 512 were in order to improve the intent of the bill and reform the administrative recognition process. These changes are contained in an amendment in the nature of substitute I will offer at the appropriate time. Now recognize Mr. Rahal for any statement he may have on the legislation.
Mr. Chairman, as introduced, H.R. 512 was a bill that I could support. It sought to fix a situation that cries out for legislative relief by expediting petitions for federal recognition of Indian tribes which have languished for years in the Department of the Interior. I was prepared to support you in this endeavor. However, the substitute language you will be offering to the legislation, if adopted, will cause me to have to oppose our reporting the bill from the committee. The fundamental problem I have with this substitute is that it would completely shut down a department's recognition process, leaving no administrative process in its place. If this substitute were to become law after 6 months' time, any Indian tribe wishing to petition for federal recognition would have to come to Congress, go directly to the President, or turn to the courts to be recognized. If the thinking behind this proposal is that it would put an end to the recognition of Indian tribes, I have serious reservations over such a policy. I've heard it said that we have enough Indian tribes and that anyone who has not petitioned by this time cannot really be an Indian tribe. I do not hold such absolute knowledge and would take issue with it. So I would say to the chairman that I stand ready to work with you to better the current administrative process, which is the heart and soul of the bill you introduced, but cannot support the dissolving the administrative process without replacing it with a better one. Thank you.
Any further discussion?
Chairman.
Mr. Kildee.
Looking at your substitute, and for the same reasons that Mr. Rahal has enunciated, I would certainly oppose the bill at this time. I would hope that we could sit down in a bipartisan way and try to address the problems with the bar process. But at this time, I would vote no on your bill as you will substitute it.
Further discussion, Mr. Pallone.
I just want to essentially say the same thing and be quick about it as Mr. Rahal. You know, we've been talking about reforming the recognition process for a number of years because we realize the status quo is not working and something has to be done to speed up the process. Their tribes have been waiting for decades to receive a determination from the department. And that's why generally, Mr. Chairman, I supported your efforts in the past, but because I viewed it as a step in the right direction. But again, now the substitute is I think, totally different from what we've been getting from you, you know, in the past few years. You seemed in the past to be willing to work with us to address our concerns. My most important concern has always been the lack of human resources available to complete the recognition process, which I think is the biggest contributor to the existing backlog. Now, I don't know where this substitute came from, but I don't think it's, you know, the solution that we've collectively advocated for. And I just can't support it. I think that the federal process is broken, but it's in everyone's interest not to just simply cast it aside without considering the consequences of not having a plan in place to establish a new alternative process. And as Mr. Rahal said, the substitute would just force tribes to seek recognition through the courts or Congress, neither of which have the expertise in place to determine federal recognition for those who seek it. We just shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, and I'm afraid that's what's going on with this substitute, Mr. Chairman. So I would ask that you withdraw it and work with us on a bipartisan basis to improve the recognition process, which I know you've been willing to do in the past, and hopefully we could do if we just get rid of this now. I just don't think this is going to solve any problems. It's only going to make it worse.
Further discussion, Mr. Boren.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I can't hear. Could we get a little order? Mr. Chairman, while I appreciate your leadership today, I cannot support your substitute amendment to H.R. 512. The federal recognition process for tribes is by no means ideal, but the alternative that arises without the branch of acknowledgement and research, or BAR process, is completely arbitrary. BAR is the only means of recognition that sets forth uniform criteria for recognition petitions. If recognition is left to members of Congress or the court systems, those with the largest membership and with the greatest resources to hire attorneys will be heard most often. I appreciate the Chairman's interest in establishing a timely consideration process for petitions that have been languishing before IGRA was enacted, but eliminating the only criteria-based recognition process goes too far and allows for an arbitrary and political process to take its place. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I do need to, I think, to clarify this because I think you guys are complicating this a little bit more than it needs to be. And, you know, I have always, as chairman of this committee, worked with everybody on this. There is no one that meets those criteria that is established under BIA that does not know that they're a tribe. You either know now or you don't meet the criteria. No one is going to discover 3 years from now all of a sudden that they're a tribe. What we're trying to do is force BIA to make these decisions and recognize everybody that has their petitions in that qualify. Mr. Pallone?
Well, if you would yield, I appreciate it. I don't agree. I mean, I think the problem is, and one of the ones that keeps coming up in the hearings, for a lot of tribes, of those who would seek recognition, is resources. And there definitely are tribes out there that, you know, for whatever reason, primarily resources, have had difficulty going through the process. So, you know, unless we come up with something that addresses the resource problem, and I don't want them just relying on, you know, somebody who's going to come in and build a casino. And I have legislation that would accomplish that for providing grants, so they don't have to rely on, you know, outside sources that would want to build a casino. And that's got to be addressed. That should be part of this. I mean, that's my biggest concern that we're not addressing here. But I mean,
if I could reclaim my time, I agree with you completely. All they have to do is send in a letter saying that they want to be part of the process. It does not, in order to enter into that process, does not require them to do all of that on the front end.
Well, I don't agree. I mean, we had a hearing, and there were several tribes that came in that talked about the fact that because of lack of resources that they were having a problem.
They could not complete.
Right.
Those that are in that process are not thrown out.
The way I understand this, and you know, you could correct me if I'm wrong. First of all, that resource can be issue can be a problem at any step. I should
not to send
that.
In a letter saying that they want to be recognized.
Well, why don't you explain to me why you think that the resources are not a problem then?
I do think the resources are a problem. I'm not saying the resources aren't a problem.
But what happens if they haven't? What happens if they haven't already sent in a letter, and for whatever reason, and somebody decides down the road, after this becomes law, that they want to go through the process? And the way I understand it now, they'd have to go to Congress.
They have 6 months to send in a letter after the enactment of this law.
But what is the reason why you seek to just cut it off completely after the 6 months? If there are, in fact, tribes that might come along later and say, hey, we believe now that we can make the case that we weren't able to before. Or maybe, you know, for whatever reason, decided not to, you know, to delay. I mean, it's not as if there aren't tribes out there or the potential for those that would want to do that later on down the road. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Mr. Chairman, but I think that it is going to preclude certain groups who might decide at some future time that they would seek recognition.
Reclaiming my time, I'll just say, if we don't do this, if we don't force this issue, force BIA to recognize, force them to give an answer to all these tribes, 30 years from now, whoever replaces all of us is going to be dealing with the exact same issues. These guys, these bureaucrats have a perpetual job, and as long as they don't make a decision, they always have a job.
But if the gentleman would yield, I understand that. I don't think anybody on this side or in general...
You're debating me on it.
No, but I don't think anybody's arguing that there's a problem. But I don't think that the problem is addressed effectively.
Don't give them a drop-dead date. Just let them go on forever. Would all these guys live in your district?
You can certainly do certain things to try to speed up the process or require certain deadlines for certain things, but to say that you're completely out and that's the end of the process if you don't submit...
No one is ever completely out.
But for them to have to go to Congress, I mean, that's what my colleague from Oklahoma said. You know, that if they have to constantly go to Congress, I think it then becomes an issue of who does have the superior resources, because, you know, or who's able to do the best lobbying and who's able to have the most influence.
Well, unfortunately, reclaiming my time, unfortunately, I think you guys got some bad advice from your staff in terms of what the legislation actually does, because this is something that passed on a voice vote and all of a sudden there's opposition to it, and I think that you got some bad advice.
Well, again, we went through a series of hearings, and I think that we all felt that we were working together with you, and we still would like to do so. But I think that now we're, you know, here in this is sort of the 11th hour. I don't think it's really what we were talking about in the beginning, because it does cut off the whole process. That's different, in my view.
My time's expired. Mr. Kildee?
Well, I'm worried about the fact that a lot of tribes have not been aware of all their obligations. Now, you talk about reissuing a letter. I've been working with, for example, with the Virginia tribes for a few years. They had no idea what their role or their responsibility is. And there's, I'm sure, tribes out there that have a valid claim to have their retained sovereignty reaffirmed, but are not really aware of the process. I hate to have a cutoff date on that. You say you think our staffs are maybe confused a bit. I would suggest, really, and no one questions your sincerity, no one questions your commitment to sovereignty. You have a very, very credible record on that. Why don't we have our staffs get together and see whether we can resolve some of these questions and some of these problems, and I'd be most happy to work with you. Mr. Ray Hallwood, Mr. Pallone, myself, we have people on our staffs who are have expertise in this area too, and just defer this and see whether we can reach some bipartisan across-the-board agreement.
Mr. Fali Mavega.
Mr. Chairman, I know that some of our colleagues have been following this issue now for, my gosh, the past 10 years. I remember distinctly when we held hearings on this issue, the gentleman who wrote the regulation, he wrote the regulation about these seven criteria that these tribes had to go through the hoop in trying to get them recognized through the VAR system. And this gentleman who wrote the regulation himself said even he would never be able to get a tribe fully registered or become recognized if that tribe was ever to follow the procedures that are currently being implemented by the Department of the Interior. We've tried several congresses in the past to introduce legislation. I think the very intent of what you're trying to do here to better streamline the system, because the system isn't just working. It's not working. I remember distinctly, and I'm sure my good friend from North Carolina can attest to this, we have a tribe in North Carolina who has been trying to seek recognition by going through the BAR system. Well, the BAR system started in 75, but this tribe, over 100 years, Mr. Chairman, and they're still not recognized. They had to be examined. One of the members had to say, even to say that through some anthropological experts on some people out there in this division of BAR, find out if their teeth, to examine their teeth and to find out if they look like an Indian. It was the most just really outrageous the way the system is currently being implemented. And I just wanted to ask the chairman that this cutoff date seems to be the issue here that seems to be in question. I get the impression that from your explanation, Mr. Chairman, that there is no cutoff dates. That whatever tribe that thinks that they have the capacity to say that we are a tribe, I think we have currently 565 Indian tribes that are being recognized by the federal government. There's some 117, probably California has the most tribes that are not being recognized under the current system, and even if they try to be recognized, the system is just impossible. They don't have the resources. And I wanted to ask the chairman, is there any provision in this proposed bill that will limit that opportunity for a tribe who just simply does not have the resources to make a petition or submit an application for recognition? Because as far as I'm concerned, the current system as it is now being implemented by the Interior Administration, it's not working. And I just wanted to ask the chairman if this cutoff date that my good friend from New Jersey is making the point here, are we excluding some other tribes at some point in time, or is this thing at any point that any tribe, whoever, since you mentioned it, it's not the numbers, a group of people more than 10 or whatever consider themselves a tribe, do they currently qualify under the provisions of this proposed bill?
Can I call a timeout?
Please.
What you guys are objecting to is the amendment, not to the underlying bill. Am I accurate?
Correct.
I won't offer the amendment. Is everybody okay now?
Yes.
All right. We will work out that before we go to the floor. I just won't offer the amendment right now. I think you guys are wrong on this. I think if I have a chance to talk to you, you'll understand what I'm trying to do. But I won't offer the amendment. Okay?
Fair enough.
Now Gallagher's got a problem. The question is now favorably reporting the bill to the House of Representatives. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The bill is favorably reported. That objection, the motion reconsider is laid on the table. Is Cannon here? Okay. The next item for consideration is H.R. 2069. I ask unanimous consent that the Subcommittee on Forest and Forest Health be discharged from further consideration of the bill. Hearing no objections, so ordered. I ask unanimous consent that the bill be considered read and open for amendment at any point. Hearing no objections, so ordered. I now recognize the gentleman